Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, even if the Steelers lose to the Ravens, guys, they still control their own fate. In the AFC North, all they would have to do is win their final two games against the Chiefs and the Bengals. So there is a little bit of leeway there. If you're unsure about a guy like Pickens or a guy like TJ Watt and you want to just hold off and rest them, you could do that and still win the division if you win your last two games.
All right, welcome in to another edition of Pony and Muller. Charlie Borges producing back in Greentree. T-Bird, the winner of our hot dog eating contest, a man that has a big appetite because he smokes so much marijuana, posted up with us here at Mike's Beer Bar. This is one of our big events of the year, a Christmas karaoke night. It's become a fan favorite. This place will be packed by the time we get towards 7 o'clock. Pat Fryermuth expected to make a cameo here. They're already getting everybody in the mood down here by playing holiday favorites from Bob Marley, Buffalo Soldier, blasting through here.
Because I think
when you
of Christmas.
Yeah, when you think Christmas, you think Nat King Cole, Perry Cuomo, and Bob Marley.
Right. I agree with you on that. Like, I think he's one of the songbirds of this time of year.
White Christmas, Blue Christmas, No Woman, No Cry.
Green Christmas in his case, I think. Very green Christmas.
T-Bird knows what we're talking about. Yeah, good crowd already trickling in. Peyton over here is a student over at Point Park. He's an aspiring sportscaster. So he wanted to come see the show in person. He's wearing a TJ.
Good shirt. I think it's one of those like
One
strip
punch
district.
Watt.
Yeah, is it like a strip district special right there? That does not look like authorized team apparel.
His mom said meat district.
Meat district.
Yeah. Meat district special.
Mm.
Yeah.
One Punch Watt's a good nickname, though.
I'm telling you, they're going to outlaw that play.
You're convinced that it's going to start fist fights in games.
Well, it did. But hey, three or four plays later, what happened with the Eagles game? Punches started flying, and Mike Tomlin got an explanation from the officials on Hard Knocks last night where they said he was knocking his arm away. It was not a punch.
BS.
And then they cut out the best part, which goes to show you the show stinks.
I forgot to watch it again last
Chris,
night.
That's fine.
Well, here's why. Because if like we knew that there was something seismic that was going to happen, like their teaser like and some of the like advanced reports on the show trickled out that you're going to definitely want to see this. There's some of the wilder stuff ever. It just passes with a total whimper. I'll make this admission. We're very much football-focused right now. I was way
more... Are we pro-football-focused?
Oh, definitely. You give me a grade on that, it's like a 94.6. Or a 93.7, perhaps.
How about Barber football
focus? Oh, yes. Barber football focus has big takes, big opinions. I was way more into the Penguins seeing if they could rally in that game, honestly.
Do you know what I did last night?
They're, like, bizarrely competent again.
I went to watch... Robert Morris play Towson, a little early Pittsburgh-Baltimore.
Oh, yeah, how was that?
Showdown, well. I go there. Kevin Colbert's there. Guy over at Oakmont came up and started talking to me about stuff. I should have gotten his name, and I should have remembered his role there, but he seemed like a big deal. He was courtside. And first half, they got blown out. I said, I want to go watch Hard Knocks. Mm-hmm. Silly me. I leave. They come back, and they win. They erased a 15-point deficit and won at the buzzer, basically.
I mean, does that further not... evidence of the pony jinx being real. You are just – you are a colossal mush. People should contract you out. What's that movie with William H. Macy, The Cooler, where, like, casinos send him to guys who are going on hot streaks at the tables?
That.
Yeah, he's like – and he is supposed to be the cooler. His mere presence cools off the table.
Can we talk about what Ray said there regarding this game? Because I am getting the sense that this game is not a big game.
In what way? Like, in the way people are talking about? Like, it's not a big game for the Steelers?
Well, yeah, because now you're hearing not only fans, but media and people that cover the team kick the can down the road and say, well, actually, if they lose this game, they're still technically in first place because they'll still have the tiebreaker with the Ravens. And as he put it, Ray said, all they would have to do is beat Kansas City and Cincinnati in the last 2 weeks and win the division.
Ah, yes, child's play.
As if beating the team that's only lost one time this year and has won the last two Super Bowls is all they have to do.
On 3 days rest from the 3 days after they play the Ravens or whatever, 3 days rest after they play the Ravens.
They still control their own fate. I'm looking at this game as sell out to win this one and then kind of rest up and pace yourself over the next two games and get this in your pocket now, mm-hmm. guarantee it, and then you can figure out what you want to do with Kansas City and Cincinnati after that. Not, well, let's kind of tiptoe into this game or proceed with caution, and hey, if we lose it, it's not actually the end of the world at all because we'll still have these next two games. We'll have to win both, and there is, even though their defense is an abomination, there is always the chance that Joe Burrow just lights you up because he's having probably the best season of any quarterback in the NFL, not named Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson this year. But, hey, what the hell? The next two games are really very winnable, and they'll be fine in the end if they take that tact in this game.
Yeah, strictly viewed through that like sort of prism of how people are poo-pooing this game, I couldn't disagree more. This is – don't you always want to take the path of least resistance in almost any situation? And that's not to call the Ravens a bad team or a team that like is the least resistance, but it's winning one game to get where you want to go as far as getting the division and securing a home game versus having to win two. What is greater there, two or one? What's the greater number?
Two.
Okay. Since the beginning of time, since the first time they came up with those Arabic numerals or whatever, I think that's the ones we use, not Roman numerals, definitely not. Two is greater than one. I'd rather win one game to win the division than lose that game and then have to win two if I wanted to win the division. And I know we had a very lengthy and entertaining time talking yesterday, discussion about, like, does the division matter? Strictly speaking, like, taking out of consideration what do you need for this to be a successful season, just what does the division mean to them in practical terms? Yeah, it still matters. This game still matters. It's, again, a de facto division title game right now for the Steelers, not for the Ravens. Ravens have to win to stay alive. Like, it absolutely is not a game that I would be poo-pooing. You know, you could do that with the Eagles game for a couple of reasons. It's inter-conference, so it just by nature does not matter nearly as much. You only see that team again if you both make it to the Super Bowl.
And we knew the whole time that if they lost that game, all they would need to do is beat the Ravens to win the division.
It never was going to change the stakes of this game. And then you also knew going in, I don't think this is an excuse because it's different players every time, but just historically they have struggled there. And you also knew going in that George Pickens wasn't going to play. Now, you've got injuries, and Pickens might not play again, depending on which Post-Gazette beat writer you listen to. Brian Bacco thinks he will. Jerry Dulac thinks he won't. T.J. Watt, who knows? They seem optimistic about him. But
everybody,
like,
seems optimistic about Watt, not so much on Pickens.
Pickens, right. Okay, my point is, you don't just poo-poo this game because you're dinged up, because you think you can't win the game as a result of being dinged up. This is the team that you have shown like a very odd mastery over. Like, you have won 8 of 9, I believe it is now. You actually elicited a bad performance from Lamar Jackson. Not an asterisk one where his receivers dropped passes, not one where he wasn't playing because they had already sewn things up. The last time he saw you, he played one of his worst games in like 2 years. Probably his worst game of the year other than maybe the Philly game. Like, you should absolutely treat this game like a priority because it is very much the path of least resistance to getting to where you want to go. It's wild to me that people would... You know what the downplaying feels like? We already kind of get this sense that the Steelers are going to lose, so we're going to preemptively de-emphasize the game. And so when they lose the game, it's no big deal. They were wounded. They'll be healthier for Kansas City and Cincy.
Which is what I did with Philadelphia, but I can't do that in back-to-back
weeks. Miss me. I thought Philly was more meaningful in terms of being a measuring stick game. It didn't go well, and I kind of opined as much. Miss me with the idea that because maybe you're getting this nagging feeling that you're going to lose to the Ravens and that maybe Jackson finally finds his level for once against you and plays like Lamar Jackson, that you can de-emphasize it. Absolutely not,
it's
man.
Just
That's a loser mentality, as a matter of fact, going into
wow.
it.
Wow.
Like I'm not saying like Ray is a loser Ooh. Or people saying this are losers, but it just reeks of loser mentality. You know, there's always a get 'em next week. I didn't really like it from Tomlin coming out of the Eagles game, man.
Well, he must have been listening to me because it was...
He just did the ho-hum, it's one game, let's not overreact.
He said, let's not be dramatic.
You got your lunch money stolen by a team. Like, if it's a measuring stick, how good are you? You got your lunch money taken.
He did call it the state championship game, and it did look like
and
a
it
lot
looked,
of state
And it looked like
game.
Philly schools versus Whipple this year. I don't know, man. This game is not the same as that. I will even admit that game could be looked at in a certain light. Not this one.
It's crazy that somebody would say... You can hold them off and rest them if you want. When we're talking about effing Steelers-Ravens, and not just for, like, the pride of a rivalry game and doing what they do in college football where you want to plant your proverbial flag and say, hey, we beat you again.
Yeah.
It literally locks up a home playoff game. Tomlin is 5-4 at home, I want to say, in the playoffs all time, and he absolutely has a losing record on the road. So even in that sense... It's the path of least resistance, not even knowing who their opponents are, what they would have to do from there. It's just...
It's a head-scratcher.
I'm trying to get into the psychology of why people would be okay with that. Like, hey, you know, they're not completely healthy. Let's not treat this like a quasi-playoff game or close to it and just live to fight another day or play another day and move on to the next game. I said that before Philadelphia, but that was because I thought this game meant that much. It was to absolutely prioritize that this game, and now people are trying to de-emphasize.
What are we going to get to if they keep losing these games all the way through to the wild card game? It doesn't mean that much, this wild card playoff game.
Well, actually, if the Ravens are an underdog against the Texans on Christmas, so if they lose to Houston and the Steelers somehow lose to the Chiefs, then you'll still be fine and you can really load up for the Cincinnati game in Week 18.
You make a very nice recovery statement if, even without George Pickens necessarily, you win this game after you just got like basically clowned by Philadelphia. You make a very nice statement. You secure a home playoff game. You win the division. You do all that stuff. And then you have the actual legitimate opportunity, if you want to rest whoever you want, and for how much ever you want over the last 2 weeks, because at that point, as a four-loss team, there probably isn't that much to play for.
412-928-9370 is our telephone number. I don't know where you are right now, but you should get down here to Mike's Beer Bar. We're doing our show until 6, and then the festivities really get ratcheted up with our Christmas karaoke event. Pat Fryermuth is scheduled to come down here and be a part of it. Crowley was in, I think, the Glee Club. At Mount Lebanon, did you know that?
I did know he was actually in the Glee Club, yeah.
I don't know why, but that really, like, tickles my funny bone.
What's wrong with
You're
the Glee Club?
Fan. Yeah, what is wrong with it, though?
It's just like Crowley having to do, because you know, like, the kind of way you, like, if you were in the Glee Club, I have a hard time picturing you, like, trying to be, like, this overtly, like, over-the-top, smiley, energetic.
Right.
Spreading okay. cheer okay. while singing person. And it's just humorous to picture him.
Don't you think,
that.
Knowing him the way you do, don't you think he tried to do it to meet chicks? That had to be like his
It really makes him sound like a horn dog.
I mean, you would put out like basically like a town crier style Facebook message to every girl in your Facebook.
Yeah, but I was in
friend
college.
List.
When you're 15 years old, I think it's a little bit different, no?
So you weren't the same way when you were 15 or 16? Give me a break.
I was someone who had those thoughts but never actually acted on them, really, is what it comes down to.
Well, it sounds like Crowley was an early bloomer there and was joining the Glee Club to try to have Glee put another kind of smile on his face.